Thank you, Jennifer. We're going to talk about that this morning, that very thing about why would you love me that much to die for me, and trying to grasp what happened on Easter. There's a great question. I was reading a book, and a question popped out of me, out from the book that I read, and I think it's a great question that we need to ask ourselves a lot of times, and that is, where do I go from here? And I'm talking about now that Easter Sunday is past. Where do we go from here? Where do we take the message of what Jesus did for us, and what does it mean? And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about faith and prayer and life and what we try to do at church. And what we try to do at church is connect you with a God that is very capable of changing your life and giving you a different life than you live now. How do I proceed? You know, all of us here, we've talked about this many times, we come here. Some are afraid, some are facing all kinds of circumstances. There's troubles in life, some are overwhelmed, some are confused, and some are facing very serious illnesses, and then there's other people that are in very great circumstances right now. Really doesn't matter what your circumstance is, I think the question, where do I go from here, is very relevant. And there's two ways I want to answer that. And that, well, one, there's two choices. One choice is I can go from here with Jesus, or I can go from here without Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, both of us have been on both of those paths at one time or another, and I think we still bounce back and forth. And, you know, when I saw Nathan come in, we had a little audition this past week, and we were looking for a drummer, and Nathan came in and Tiffany came in. When I see you guys, and I know you're about to have a baby, you're what I call in the thick of life. You're just in the thick of life. There's so many things happening. You've got, you know, you're putting together an apartment. You said you were working on your house. You got a baby coming. There's so many questions. There's, you know, how are we going to make this happen? I remember back when I had my first baby. You know, it's a tough time, because there's so many things that you have to deal with right now. You're in the thick of it. But what I want to tell you is, if you can grasp everything that we're playing up here and singing about and why we come to church, your life and your journey can be much more fulfilling with Jesus than without Jesus. And aren't you glad that you joined this group and on the very first Sunday the preacher's talking about you and calling you up? That's right. I call out everybody once in a while. But I, you know, you were both so lovely when you came in, and, you know, knowing that, what, 3 weeks you said, Tiffany? About 3 weeks. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. And I will tell you, and you already know this, things won't always be easy. Things can get real rough when you're not sleeping at night and the baby's up. And Nathan, it's your turn to get up. You know. So, what I'm going to suggest to both of you, what I suggest to all of us, is trying to understand that it's better to have faith in God and trust Jesus. I think that all of us in this life, one thing we have to realize is if we can get knowledge, if we can expand our knowledge about things, our life changes. And that's true in career life. It's true in everything. If you expand your knowledge of how to communicate with one another better in a marriage, your success of having a, or your ability to have a successful long marriage would be better. We need to expand our knowledge, and what we come to church for is to expand our spiritual knowledge and understand what Jesus really did. And one of the big things that I don't know, I still think it happens way too often, is people avoid church because there's too many rules. And one thing I love about this little church is, I, at least our congregation, we threw most of the rules out because so did Jesus. You understand that? Jesus got rid of the rules. People say, oh, Kent, that's not true. 10 commandments are still good. Yeah, they're excellent. Nobody can keep them. That is why when we have communion and we talk about the body and the blood, it's the new covenant. Remember last week, those of you that were here, about the cupcake, the push-up? Every sin that you've committed, if you accept Jesus Christ, is wiped clean. Jesus is the only way you and I can connect with God. And the price has been paid. The cupcake is on the table. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to last week's sermon online. The cupcake has been paid for. There is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Nothing. You can't be a better person and have God love you more. God loves you as much as He's ever going to love you right now. The whole difference in everybody's life is, are you willing to accept the gift of salvation and then walk hand in hand with Jesus? Because that changes everything. I told you a long time ago that I knew in eighth grade when I went up and did my confirmation speech that God had put His hand on me and said, Kent, someday you're going to be a preacher. And man, I ignored that. I was what I call a Jonah. We talked about that. I ran the other way. So it took me, I was in my 50s before I finally surrendered that. And so I don't know what Jesus is going to do in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. You came, Nathan, the other night because, I guess, Eddie, did you tell him about this? So Eddie introduced you and said, hey, I know this church. Did you know who was going to be here when you came or not? Kind of? Okay. So, but you came for a reason. You thought, okay, I'm going to get in on this. I'm going to play drums for this church. I'd like to get back and play drums. But that is probably not the whole reason you're here. God has a greater purpose. I will tell you that you're here for a bigger reason than just playing the drums, if you trust me. And that's true with everybody that's in here. It doesn't matter who you are, Brett, Savannah, all of you have ended up here for a reason. And the reason is there is a gift waiting for each and every one of us to take and receive and to walk hand in hand with Jesus. One of the things that happens when I go out and speak with people that are going through hard times is, and once in a while you hear the comment, you know, I've prayed and nothing's changing. And people's faith waves. Because we talk about, let's pray to God, let's go to God, we should always pray and we should always pray. But what happens is when we pray the prayer of healing, when we pray the prayer I need a better job, when we pray the prayer I need healing in my marriage, whatever it is, and it doesn't seem to be happening, people's faith wanes and we start walking our own path because that didn't work. Right? We've all been there, right? You've prayed prayers and it doesn't turn out the way you wanted to turn out. So what do we do with that? When the Bible says and Jesus says, you got to pray, go to pray. Jesus always prayed. Well, let me give you an answer to that one. The problem with all of us is that we are spoiled in one way, but we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. We put our faith in the answer that we are praying for. I want complete healing, and it doesn't come. So therefore, well, you know, I believe in God, but I gotta do my thing. So here's what I tell people: faith, real hardcore faith. Jesus said, you know, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Well, what does that mean? But the faith I believe He wants us to have is not necessarily in the prayer that we are praying, but in the person who can answer the prayer. And true faith is, I will accept whatever God gives me and walk with that. Say, well, Kent, what kind of a deal is that? Well, you're going to have to ask Jesus when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was on the night that before He was betrayed and was going to be hung on the cross the next day, and He went before the Lord Jesus and got down on His knees, and He was crying and sweating blood, and He was worried sick, and He even prayed the prayer, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup, let this situation pass me by. If there's another way, let it be. And then He said, yet not my will, Your will be done. If the Lord Jesus didn't even get exactly, He, I'm sure, would have loved to avoid everything He went through. And yet God had a greater purpose. Jesus kept the hand of God. He stayed with Him. And He went through whatever, all the things He had to go through. And we forget that when we pray that even the Lord Jesus had to walk through the shadow of the valley of death. But God, He stayed with God and God stayed with Him. God will always, always, always be by your side, but it's up to you to stay close to Him and hold His hand. We do that by going to the Bible, going to the Scriptures, coming and trying to find peace. When we sing the songs, everything is to connect you or reconnect you with God. The problem we have as Christians, as human beings, is trying to grasp the reality of what Jesus did for us and how he can change our life. And he can change our life. And so I don't want you necessarily to take my word for it. How many people in here are baseball fans? Okay, so you're going to recognize, I'm going to show a short video. And I want you to see what Jesus can do just to ordinary people. People who think they had the world. They had everything. And yet they were lost. So, Lane, if you would please.
He's the guy that you hit a home run on, and you keep your head down, you run around the bases real fast, because you know he's looking at you. Your starting pitcher, the whole day is revolved around you. So from the time you wake up to the time you take the mound, it's so many different kinds of emotions.
Let's have the praise choir come up. God is real. He will come into your life. He will change your life. You walk close to Him. It doesn't mean a life with Christ is always going to be easy, but I will tell you what, it'll always, always, always turn out better with Jesus. You know the promise at the end. And the other great thing about this message is we have a responsibility. You know there's many people out there that are hurting. We have a responsibility to, just like Wainwright did, to introduce people, never give up on people, pray for them, invite them to church, invite them to listen to the gospel, learn a way to share Jesus with people. That's what we are called to do. Father, we're grateful for this time, this season, Easter, the resurrection season, and we ask you to be in each of our hearts. Forgive us of our sins. I know that sometimes when we ask, where do I go from here? Let us remind us that the answer is always heading towards you, getting closer to you. So I ask you for your healing spirit, your comforting spirit, your wisdom to come into every soul here today, so that when we leave, that we can be a better person. We can go out into the world more compassionate, more forgiving, and know that we're walking close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.